I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to a festive New Year episode of the Football Drop Podcast.
Why do you keep calling it a festive episode? You say it and you can see your face like, oh, I should have said that, but I'm here now. Happy New festive. Year, guys. It is 2024.
Obviously we've got the tree up.
Yeah, we've got the tree up. When did you take it down? Next weekend?
Today.
Today? No, it's got to be the 5th of January, mate. 12 days of Christmas.
You say it has got to be the 5th.
Traditionally, today. 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, but today.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, traditionally, we celebrate like the birth of Christ. Did you do that this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
You fucking liars.
What? I suppose we should probably introduce anyone who's not watching us on YouTube. Ali Campbell is back with us. Welcome back.
Evening, morning, afternoon.
Yeah, wearing that shit shirt as well.
We're two wins in a row. I'm fucking ecstatic.
Wearing that crappy Chelsea shirt. Doesn't How are we, really boys?
Don't talk to me.
How are we? How are we doing?
All good. A little tired, but cracking on.
Nice. William?
Yeah, all good. Happy New Year, boys. Happy New Year. Did you guys get up to much New Year?
We did some bowling, played a bit of golf.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then I drove a go-kart for a while. And then I was stealing Ali's balloons.
Wow.
Memorable time.
Cool.
Memorable times.
We played the Switch. We played the Switch for New Year's. What about you? You had the kids, didn't you?
We had the kids, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, you can say that. I didn't get an invite. But yeah, we had the kids, yes. Yeah,
so no, I mean, you did, actually. We spoke about this on before we recorded the last podcast. Yeah. I said, what are you doing for New Year? Have you got the kids? And you went, yeah, I've got the kids, but I've set it up really nicely. So every other year, I'll get a nice New Year's just me and Seld so we can like have a little date night to celebrate the New Year.
I felt a bit like Ramesh, when he's not invited anywhere by Tom.
Never been to Tom's house before.
I feel like that.
It's mad because like Ali's always invited Randy whenever he wants.
Yeah, I know, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's weird.
And I live further away. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for chatting, mate.
Yeah, that's the second knife in Will's back already this morning. Will, that's a lovely background you've got sorted there, mate, with a shit shirt and the cracking Hamilton Academic shirt.
Yeah, excuse the decorating. It's that's part of the hole filling. If you remember from season 3, there was a lot of hole filling. That's part of that, and I've not decorated this bit yet. But yeah, we got our signed shirts. I put it up, and I put the Barcelona shirt up, especially for you as well, Benji.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I don't appreciate that at all, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, I might change them up every now and then.
Ooh, keep the user legend. You have to keep watching us on YouTube then, guys. What shirts will got up this week? Bum, bum, bum.
Exactly.
Do you guys do New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
What's your resolutions?
No.
I don't even know.
I want to get a bit fitter. I want to get the house done, completed, benitoed, and I don't know if you've seen, but you get like those jars, and then you like, so when something happens, you write it down, you put it in a jar, and then like at the end of the year, you have a little look through to see what you've been up to over the course of the year. I'm going to do that this year as well. Like be a bit more sort of appreciative of the year, a bit more mindful.
We're doing one a day?
Well, just when something happens. I know in my life, there won't be much.
I did the podcast.
Kind of piece of paper right around the bottom of a jar, but I'll do it next year.
Yeah, I'll give it till about January 15th.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I'm gone.
Gets about March. You're like, what did I do for the last 2 months? I better film this.
Yeah.
Ben's brought it up again on the fucking podcast. Oh, nice, man.
How about you?
I think the same as everyone. Lose a bit of weight. I want to see friends a bit more. And hopefully, I want to deliver the all important train content for 2024. Because everybody loves train content.
Okay. What's that? You just taking pictures of you on a train?
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. And then moaning about the delays on the train.
Is this Ben Bourgeois coming out?
Ben Bourgeois. Yeah, man, you know it. No, I had a special mention yesterday evening saying how much they appreciate the train content. And I deliver a bit more in 2024. So here it is. I will be delivering from tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will be yesterday by the time this goes out. But yeah.
Well, we can't fucking wait for that. Oh, boring Ben. Yes, I want the train. This one is the new train. It's got the USB port inside the carriage. Yes. And actually, I took a bottle of Pepsi and I drank it all by the time I arrived at St. Pancras.
I don't go to St. Pancras. It's too expensive. Can I just say quickly on that, though? I met my dad on the way home before. I met him on the high speed on the way home. And Dad literally went, oh, look, they've got the refurb one. That's nice, isn't it? I was like, oh, my God, this is so sad.
Oh, my God.
It was unprompted. I was like, what a loser. And then I was like, oh, this is what Will says about me. I get it now. It all makes perfect sense now. Oh, okay. And you don't do them at all, Ali, no?
It's just, to be honest, for me, it's just setting yourself up for failure. For the year, like I heard someone last night say, last cigarette of 2023 just before midnight. It'd not been half an hour so they went, let's have a cigarette of 2024. It's like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Oh dear, she was drunk.
Normally I expect people to be able to last at least a month. She didn't even last 30 minutes, let alone 30 days.
This is true.
So I'm going to take a guess. So not being invited, I obviously wasn't there. I'm going to hazard a guess that this is Laura you're talking about.
No.
Actually, no.
No, it's Kaylee.
No, it wasn't.
It was not the general. It was Kaylee. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like, no. Oh, and she smashed a glass as well.
Oh, no. Yeah, with her phone. She continues to think it was with her thighs, but it was with her phone.
Yeah, her phone smashed the glass and she's holding it between her legs. So we all told her, fucking hell, poor Aaron.
Lucky Aaron.
Strongest neck in fucking planet. But should we move on? Because there's quite a few things to go through. Obviously, firstly, Ali, it's great to have you back on, mate. I know you're making a few guest appearances this month. So, yeah, thank you for coming on. Obviously, I'm assuming you listen every week because, you know, we wouldn't get you on otherwise. Will, you have returned to a certain friend of yours who's got a set skill set.
So, for the second week in a row, so last week I had to backtrack on what I'd said about Sean Dyche, which is he's done quite well as a Premier League manager. So this week I'm going to have to backtrack on stick to the same barber, because it really does make a big difference when you find somebody, and then if you just fuck about willy-nilly, you know, whoring yourself out to different barbers, it just doesn't work. I've been caught a couple of times now.
Quite a few more.
I have to make a 25-minute drive to my barbers now, but I think it's worth it.
It is always worth it. You've got to stick to what you know and you're comfortable with, mate. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, certainly have. Although, what was quite funny, I was talking to the barber, right? I think they're Iraqi. So he was, because we were talking about Christmas, naturally, so I don't celebrate Christmas. I was like, okay, fair enough, blah, blah, blah. And then we got talking, and he was sort of like, oh, where do you live now? So I said, oh, I mean, you know, Beltinge, Herne Bay sort of area. And he was like, oh, wow, that's far. Like, you've come quite far. I was thinking, you're from Iraq, mate. Like, Herne Bay is not far.
Maybe you thought you said Belize, not Beltinge.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because that is quite far.
That's Portugal, isn't it?
Mate, anywhere's near Portugal for you. But I'm glad you've come out and admitted that, though. That you know, you've backtracked again. Makes me very happy.
Yeah, backtrack Bill.
Oh, my God. I'm jotting that down. That could be a title contender.
I prefer Ben Bourgeois.
Backtrack
personally.
Bill. Nah, backtrack Bill sounds better. I just wanted to do a little shout out as well for the weekend. Because as you will see on YouTube, we've got the Hamilton Academical signed shirt, courtesy of Jerry Strain. And they smashed FC Edinburgh 5-2.
Oh, sorry.
What it was like. They were 5-0 up after like 32 minutes, 34 minutes.
Yeah.
I was hoping for banks.
They lost their last game, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they've lost the last three, I think.
Yeah, three, few in a row, wasn't it? Yeah, Well plum, guys.
But I thought it could have been a double digit score at one point. When you see 5 in 30 odd minutes, you're like, come on, guys, here we go. This could be interesting.
Yeah, it never works out that way, does it?
No, unfortunately. But yeah, what a great win though. But also sticking on the Scottish football sort of situation and topics, did anyone see the highlights of Arbroath versus Raith Rovers?
I saw the moment that you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, man, take it away, because I know you was quite passionate about this before we clicked record. You had a big grin on your face saying, did you see this?
I'm not sure I'd say passionate, but okay. So they were struggling with injuries. They'd made all of their subs, and I think they needed to make another one due to an injury. And they only had their reserve, their substitute goalkeeper left. Who was it? Arbroath, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he came on as a striker, and I think it was 35 yards out, he smashed it as hard as he could. Top bins.
Insane.
Goal. It finished 3-2, didn't it?
No, 2-2. 2-2.
Oh, 2-2. He got the equaliser.
He got it back to 2-1. And then they scored a late equaliser.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You were almost right there. Almost right there.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, Arsenal, when you're next 2-1 down against Fulham, chuck Ramsdale on, and we'll... Right, get a go.
Imagine Ramsdale striker, boom, Hattie.
I'll take Arteta still won't start him.
You what, sorry?
Yeah.
Arteta still won't start him.
No, probably not. No, he could score 100 goals in training. Arteta will still fucking bench him. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Just on a little bit of a fun fact, Ronaldo ended the year as the highest scorer of the calendar year.
Yeah, it's 54, wasn't it?
Yeah, 54 goals. Joe, who was second? Any guesses? Without looking at your notes, Ali. See your eyes flicking to the left.
Well, I'm going to say no, then, if that's the case.
Was it?
It was not Salomon Kalou, no.
Who was it?
It was Mbappe and Harry Kane with 52 goals each.
Yeah.
And Haaland back down on 50. Although he's missed, what, four games?
What a shit season.
But if he played the last three, four games, he definitely would have beaten that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and he's also playing in the hardest league in the world. Do you think Harry Kane's got, what, 18 goals now in Germany?
So, yeah,
he would never have had that. In the UK,
League. That's hard though, isn't it? Because how would he have done this season with this Tottenham team?
I would never have. Nah, Tottenham no. Better without him. Just ask Michael Richards.
Mr. Fence himself.
Nah, I can't see Harry Kane scoring that many goals in the Premier League. Not like he has in the Bundesliga.
No, probably not. But still, it's a good return, isn't it? It's a good return.
And it's like it's a bit like Kylian Mbappe. You put him in a proper league. I wonder if that's the reason why he's not gone anywhere. If he's just, I'll stay in France because I absolutely tear it up here. If I go to Real, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
To be fair, you go to Real, you're going to tear it up in the Super League. So.
Yeah, who are you playing next week? Barcelona. Who you got next week? Barcelona. Who you got next month? Barcelona.
Nah, they'll be playing, is it PSV, Benfica, all the top teams in Europe.
Yeah, Feyenoord, great.
Yeah.
Excelsior! It'd just be all the Dutch league just joining, just to get a bit more money.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Turkish league won't know, will it?
Oh, God. What the hell is going on there? Nicely straight.
It's all a bit mad, isn't it? In the Turkish football realm. So they had their Galatasaray against Fenerbahce in the Turkish Super Cup final, which was going to be held in Saudi Arabia, which is controversial in itself because you're exploiting a different country for your top league game, aren't you? So you're it's like the FA Cup going to Saudi Arabia. It's not going to go down well. It's not going to go down well. And it went, so the game was due to kick off at 5:45. Fans were in the stadium. Then there was a problem because there were banners of who's called the father of modern Turkey, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. He was called Atatürk, fun fact. Turk being the founder of the father of Turkey. So there you go. That's one. So he basically, they didn't
what
want
an
the
interesting
banners.
Fact.
They didn't want the banners in the ground, but the Turkish didn't listen because it's their, you know, it's their game. So that's what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do. By 7 o'clock, so an hour and 15 minutes later, for those of you who are not quite up to the math skills that I am, it was called off and they had to fly home.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Because you have banners of someone that Saudi Arabia didn't like, because it's political and football shouldn't be political, coming from Saudi Arabia, it was called off.
Wow. What the hell is going on?
That banner is far too controversial for us. It must be bad.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I think there was some things being said about, I think there was a Turkish guy who was killed in Was that right in Saudi? I don't know if that's right, but I think there was some talk about that as well, and that pissed them off. Wow. So yeah, that's just after all the controversy with the owner, president of the, I can't remember what the club was called now, punching the referee, and then he was being kicked while he was down. And then I think the first game back that they resumed, the players all came off the pitch because of the refereeing. So Turkish football is in a bit of a mess.
That's mad. That's absolute madness. Christ, where do they? So I'm assuming the game has to be replayed at some stage.
The game has to be replayed, yeah. Where? I assume you'll just replay in Turkey and then just go, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, well, that didn't work out.
Never mind.
How odd. Yeah, strange one. So odd.
Strange one, mate.
A bit of a fun fact for you guys. Well, it's not that fun. Everton are still 1 point better off despite their 10-point deduction compared to last season. Just crazy, proving the first backtrack of Bill over there, that Sean Dyche is in fact a good Premier League manager.
I tell you what though, I think just because it's New Year, to reflect on 2023, I think it's a massive shame that 2023 was, in terms of football in the UK, pretty poor. Everton won FFP issue, deducted 10 points. Manchester City 115, and they've won five trophies. Record breaking season that they've had, and they're allowed to continue with that. Yet Everton are subjected to a 10-point deduction and are fighting at the bottom of the Premier League. I think they'll be all right, and I think on appeal they'll have a less points deduction. But that being said, I think football in England is an absolute sham. I think it's worse than Turkey. Ah, no, that's true, not true, actually.
No, let's not go too far.
Yeah. Yeah,
sorry,
as soon as I said that, I regretted that.
Did you see that City was showing off all their trophies on their game as well?
Yeah,
they did these big banners and stuff. Did you look around the banners, though? The stadium's still not full. There's still lots of empty seats around.
Was it? No, I didn't see that.
You would just think, fucking hell, you could win all the trophies in the world, but you still can't fill the empty ad.
Yeah.
It's just a bit embarrassing, really.
I imagine showing off the trophies against, like, you know, if you're playing, like, Liverpool, you're playing, like, Arsenal or United or something. Showing them off and playing Sheffield United, I mean, it doesn't really have the same effect.
That's exactly what I thought, Ali. It's like, it's Sheffield United. I know it's the last game and it's, you know, New Year's Eve, blah, 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 I get it, but, yeah.
Well, it's the first game back after they'd won the Super Cup, wasn't it? So it's their first fixture.
Yeah, I do get it. Yeah, can you imagine if they just like roll these out every game now until the end of the season? Like, look at us, we're well good.
If it was Arsenal, we'd be encouraging them to do it.
Oh, 100%, mate. get the old Emirates Cup out. The gold Premier League trophy 20 years ago. Look at it, guys. Look how nice it looks.
Spurs walking around with nothing.
No, they won the Audi Cup. Don't slate Spurs on this podcast, Ali.
I mean, to be fair, they did win the League Cup against us. Worst day of my life.
It was against you lot they won it. Wow.
Yeah.
The worst day of your life. Fucking hell. Someone's lived an all right life, don't they?
Yeah. It's fucking great. Jesus. Except when Spurs win.
I say, or is that embarrassing that Spurs won a cup against them?
Well, yeah, that's bad. Probably, yeah.
Pretty dire.
Eric.
What was it you were saying about Gary O'Neill? Will? Bill? Phil? Dill?
What, because he wanted to call off the Everton game? He asked to call off the Everton game. Due to congested fixtures. And also they had Lamina, whose father had died. So he was worried. I think Pochettino as well, Ali, has come out and said something about the fixtures and the congestion and wanting to sort of postpone games.
Yeah, he probably wants to postpone games probably until like March, until he's got a fully fit squad back, but we're never going to have a fully fit squad back. So,
well, you've got about 60 players in your team. You can't have a fully fit squad.
I was talking to Ben about this. We do not have that many players anymore.
Ali has just been triggered instantly.
Here we go. Money off Aaron. Oh, God. Right.
Come and explain it then, because I haven't seen that many departures from you guys.
Yeah.
What do you mean you haven't seen that many departures? One of the main departures was Kai Havertz, King Kai, to your lot.
I know, look at him.
Doing great at the moment, isn't he?
Goal machine, mate.
Let's talk about the last two games.
He's a game changer. Mate, he wasn't featuring in one of them. Then he was a bit rusty because he had a break, so he needs another game to get back into it. You leave Kai alone.
1 week break, she was rusty. Okay, cool. And then obviously we got rid of like half of our like departures last season, went to Saudi Arabia. So
he did lose a few. But you've also signed 412.
I mean, yeah, but we've also got rid of 316.
So your squad still got bigger then? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Which proves Will right of you've got a big squad.
Look.
Sorry, proves Bill Bill right.
yeah, all right. We've just got a massive injury list. It's just it's been a bad year last year. Very much praying and hoping for a better 2024. Because I don't think I could do that year again.
No, I can understand that. Can you see the improvements, though, for Chelsea?
Yeah.
We're just sat there shaking like, what?
It was like, no.
Where, other than Palmer, who's been consistent all season, where's your improvement?
Enku.
Yes, he's looked good when he's played. Thiago Silva is still managing to kick a football at 96, which is fantastic. Still our best defender.
terrible. And that's terrible.
And even though, obviously, Sanchez is injured, Petrovic has come in, played quite well.
Love how all Kukra's, Will has to do is just pull Kukra's a face. Will pulls your face and you just, I can see you like, don't bite, just move on.
I'm like, if I could just sort of angle my sight away, I won't see him when making the face, but I can still see him just at the corner of my eye. But
he just looks so smug as well, look at him.
In recent games, what I was happy with is the fact that we've actually been able to come back after having a goal scored against us, because normally, as soon as you've had a goal scored, sick, pitch later. It's like, oh, great, here we go. But, yeah.
Yeah, he done really well when you scored three at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Come on to that, though. I'm sure we'll get time to talk about that one.
Yeah.
Maybe not any others, many others.
Yeah. I mean, that was the only game of the weekend, wasn't it? It's just,
I think if we start at C and work our way down the alphabet, we'll be all right.
Perfect. Sounds like a fantastic plan to me, Bill.
Hi, guys. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you don't miss a thing. How could you? Instagram is at Football Drop Podcast. Twitter is at Football Drop Pod. Thanks, Will, for that. Or just search us on Facebook, Football Drop Podcast. Podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Where did you want to start? Ironically, we do actually start at sea because it was Chelsea v Palace on Wednesday. After we recorded.
Chelsea won that one, as you could probably tell by the fist pumps. But Hodgson was being called for the sack after that, wasn't he? And they wanted Cooper in.
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
I mean, it is just like, wait, it's just waiting to happen, right?
Just be careful what
Hodgson
you wish for.
To go.
I mean, not so much the fact that Hodgson to go. I mean, obviously he will go. He is like, you know, getting on.
He's about Thiago Silva's age, isn't he?
Exactly. Thiago Silva's still playing football, so you know, just sits in a cryogenic chamber for, you know, for the evening.
Yeah, I'm sure the £450 million a week he gets paid by Chelsea probably helps though.
Do you know what though? When he signed for us. Did he even have any sort of thinking that he'd be playing at Kenilworth Road in 2023?
No, probably.
I don't know what Kenilworth Road was.
I don't even think he thought he'd be there at this point. I think he thought, I'll go to Chelsea for 2 years and then I'll go back to Brazil.
Yeah.
And our defence has been so poor that we've been like, we can't let you leave yet. Here's another contract.
Here's another 4-year deal. Come on, bruv.
How many years has he been at Chelsea now?
It's about 4 years now. He came in when Lampard was manager.
Was he? Which time? The first or the second time?
First time. Oh. Not the second coming of Frank. But Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see Cooper coming in at Palace. Not so much Hodgson getting the sack, maybe Hodgson just resigning more than anything. Like, maybe the club and him having a conversation being like, how much longer do you want to keep doing this? And, you know, him possibly saying, like, well, you know, getting on a bit. But, you know, I can see Cooper going to Palace. Like, I think that's a decent fit, so.
See, I wouldn't have even thought of that until he got sacked. Wouldn't have even crossed my mind they can get someone from Nottingham Forest.
I mean, I heard rumours because there was rumours that Nottingham Forest were like, if Steve Cooper loses the next game, we're going to sack him. And then after that, there was rumours that Palace were like, Palace keeping tabs on Steve Cooper. I was like, manage all merry-go-round just happening already. So.
Yeah, because I caught something yesterday, I think, on Instagram that was saying that Palace were interested in the Ipswich manager.
I've seen a few things like that. I think he's destined for big things, actually.
But will he leave yet when Ipswich are on such a high? If he can get them into Prem, surely you've got to give that a go. If they can sustain this in the Championship, back-to-back promotions.
What would you do? Would you stay at Ipswich and go for promotion? Or would you decide, actually, Crystal Palace have come calling for me, more money, they're a Premier League team, what would you do? But and also, just to let you know, there are better trains around Crystal Palace area than there is in Ipswich.
Well, you fucking sold me now, innit? There we go. No, I genuinely would stay at Ipswich.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think I would as well.
That you've got that feel-good factor there, the fans love you, the players love you, you've got such a good track record. If you leave them now, you'll be hated and you'll burn your legacy. But having that opportunity on your CV to say, I've got back-to-back promotions with a team that everyone wrote off at the start of the season, to say, well, Ipswich are going to go down.
Yeah.
To Palace, where they're notoriously not really backed that much, struggle all the time in the Premier League. Like, you don't often think they're going to get relegated, but they're never going to be in that top half of the table, or very rarely. They're just a team that they just kind of make up the numbers almost. And that's not to slag them off or anything, but they're just one of those teams, aren't they? You know, you'll have a decent game, be a bit physical, but they're not going to, you know, change too much in the Prem.
Also, it's likely they're going to sell their top two players come the summer, let's be honest. You know, Elise and Eze. There's I don't really think they're going to stay there past next season, to be honest.
They're too good.
Yeah.
And they're delivering too often now.
Yeah. Do you, like, Elise's goal was incredible at the weekend.
Insane. Absolutely insane. Outside of his left foot in the air.
Yeah.
To poke, yeah, like, how do you do that? How do you do that?
Crazy. Yeah, so Crystal Palace, they lost to Chelsea. That was was quite a digression, wasn't it?
It was a little bit, yeah. I was wondering where the hell we got onto this topic. Yeah, well done, Chelsea. Hard-fought game, though, wasn't it?
Nonny Madueke with the penalty.
Nonny the Donny. You just said about, when we were talking about Wolves, obviously asking for the fixture changes and stuff. Wolves won all three games in those 6 days.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they've done very, very, very well. He's done a great job there, Jones.
Manager
of the season.
Gary Jones. he's definitely going to be up there for a contender, for sure. Because he came out, I can't remember if it was before or just after Christmas. It was just basically saying, look, I know Wolves fans probably didn't expect, you know, Gary O'Neill is like, it's a bit underwhelming. He's like, but, you know, I'm honoured to be here and I'll just do what I need to do. I thought, yeah, that's probably about right. I don't want to slag him off. He's doing a great job. He gets all the team playing well. He plays the way he wants to play. But everyone buys into it. But he delivers with the results.
Well, yeah. And he replaced Lopetegui. It was about a year ago now, wasn't it? And that was a big name.
No, start this season.
I thought he came in about a year ago.
No, he finished with Bournemouth and then Bournemouth sacked him, didn't they, at the season?
Yeah, 4 days before the season started, he came in.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was. So, yeah. He is... you think after Lopetegui went, that big name, you think that he'd be like, oh, yeah, fuck it, I'll just, you know, I've lost my job at Bournemouth. I'll just try and do what I can here just to get my name out. Fucking smashing it.
Yeah. I know, I put Wolves bottom in my, like, predictions before the season started.
Yeah, I think we had them low, didn't we, if I remember rightly?
Yeah.
Because they had FFP issues, they had all sorts of issues going on.
Like, and they lost a lot of players, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, they had to due to this FFP, and then because they lost the players, Lopetegui's like expecting me to keep this lot up, and then just walked away. And Gary O'Neill's coming, but yeah, I mean Gary O'Neill, his last two jobs he's done, I mean, can't fault him. He's just, I don't really understand it because like no one had really thought of him managing until he was pushed into the job at Bournemouth last season. Because they sacked Scott Parker. And then obviously went into that and hit the ground running, got the job, and then kept him up because no one thought they were going to stay up last season.
When they were
bottom at Christmas. So there's hope for Sheffield United yet. Well, not really. But...
Nah. Sheffield United are... Oh, I'm sorry. If any Sheffield United fans are listening, I'm sorry. Your team are poor. Like, you are not a Premier League level team at all. You're not even competitive in most of the games.
That's saying something.
I thought they did all right against City, didn't they? You know, they had 16% possession.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, they kept it at 2-0, which is a massive achievement against City. But they played, I think it was like a 9-1-0 formation at one point. It's just ridiculous. I get it, you've got to, but...
Did you see the game against Luton, though?
What, Sheffield United?
Like beforehand, yeah. It was before the City game.
We did.
I was flicking between that game and I can't remember the other game that was on, but I was flicking between two games. It was 2-1 to Sheffield United at one point, and I flicked over for 5 minutes. I flicked back, and it's 3-2 to Luton. What the fuck's happened there?
Luton are a second half team, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. I can confirm that.
Joe, the biggest difference though between obviously Luton and Sheffield United, who've obviously just come up, is Luton don't get spanked. They might ship a few goals, but they also score a few goals. They don't lose by more than sort of a goal or two max. Whereas Sheffield get battered a few times.
Yeah.
When they concede two, you could see them conceding another two or three easily. Whereas Luton concede one or two, and you're like, ah, well, they'll score again in a minute, though. That's the sort of difference in mentality, I guess.
Just give them until the 80th minute, they'll just start launching crosses in and spiking your heart rate.
Yeah, I can imagine. Your old ticker's probably had a bit of damage over the weekend.
Oh, God, yeah.
We'll come on to that one.
Yeah. I should have scored.
Yeah, definitely should have. The Wolves game against Brentford on 27th smashed Brentford 4-1.
Yeah, Brentford are they're really poor at the minute. Their injury list is too long. They're very, very poor. Doing all right with what they got, I guess, but yeah, not good enough for Premier League.
Yeah, they're struggling at the moment. I think they're only a point or two above the drop at the moment.
Yeah, that's a bit of a worry for them. I hope they don't take it out on Frank.
I don't think they will. I think he's safe. I think for what he's done, I don't think Brentford are really a hire and fire kind of club. They seem to have a bit of stability there. I think they know what they're doing. They stick to their kind of ethos. So hopefully he does stay. I think if they get relegated, he might choose to leave at the end of the season. It might be a mutual thing. But he could be a good shout for someone like Palace as well.
Yeah, well, you tipped him for United the other day.
He could be at United. I think he could do any sort of job in the Prem. Apart from, I don't think he'd do like a City or Liverpool or Arsenal, but I think he deserves that sort of opportunity. But will it end up like a Potter situation at Chelsea?
Well, given time, he'd probably be all right.
Who knows? I was waiting for a little snap or a little nip there, but nothing. You did well, Ali, mate. You did well.
Thank you.
Annoyingly, Man City have returned and they've got a win against Everton on the 27th as well in the evening, which is a shame. Everton didn't look that good, to be honest.
Did you see that handball though for their penalty goal?
Was this one?
Their second goal against Everton.
Who handballed it?
Onana.
No, I can't remember this one.
Onana's gone down sliding in for the ball. Now, obviously, your hand's naturally in the air, and also one's on the ground when you're going in for a slide to try and block the ball. And Ake's, to be fair, Ake's took a shot. I don't know if it was going in, but to be fair, if it hadn't have hit his arm, it'd have hit him square in the face.
Right.
But it wasn't like he put his arm up to stop it going in his face or anything. Like, it was just natural the way it was. As they gave a penalty, and I'm like, what is this handball rule at the moment?
Ah, oh, it's mad, isn't it? Unless you're Erdegaard, anything's handball.
Unless you're Erdegaard, you play fucking basketball in the box. But, you know.
Honestly, we were so lucky to get away with that. so lucky.
But I don't know. I don't know what the handball rule is anymore. It is ridiculous. I do remember seeing that one, and I know Dyche at the end of the game was pissed off, to say the least. No one understands what's going on with any of the rules really relating to handball. It seems to change. It's ridiculous. It does need sorting. They voted, didn't they? They had a vote on the hand. I think that was Dyche's point. They had a vote on the handball rule, and now it's changed, and they've conceded a penalty because of it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So stupid. It's just all subjective though, isn't it? So much in football is subjective. That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, City ended up winning the game 3-1, so technically it didn't have a massive effect on their...
Well, that took them 2-1 up, though, didn't it?
Did take them 2-1 out, but...
I don't doubt they would have won, but, you know, tough one.
It is a tough one. Brighton-Tottenham was an entertaining game, though. Brighton went 4-0 up. 4-0.
Did not see that coming.
Especially the form Brighton have been in lately. They're very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Still unpredictable.
Still they unpredictable. They had the... Predictably.
The Zerbi was up for Real Madrid, wasn't he? Like, he was being linked with Real Madrid, but I think those links have been shot down a little bit now.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. He could do like a. I think he could do a United sort of job.
I think, to be honest, if you just get Man United playing in some sort of way, I think they'll be all right. But at the minute, they're fucked because they don't know how to play themselves. Rather than just going, just gotta do what you gotta do, boys. Crack on, which is what it seems like he's doing. If you actually put a plan together, they might actually get a couple of points.
Yeah, you never know. I never know, Bill.
I just think you need to fix the top of the club first.
Yeah, well, that's the obviously the sale's gone through now, hasn't it, with Ratcliffe?
I say it's fixed, isn't it?
Yeah, problem solved. You sign the deal, done. Everything just changes like that. Bomb.
The thing is, though, like the deal's gone through their side, but it's going to take, apparently it's going to take like a month for the Premier League to ratify it. I'm like, excellent. This is going to go right down to the end of the transfer window.
Oh, I didn't realise that. I thought it was all ratified and done.
Not by the Premier League. It's like, you know, United have like accepted it and like, you know, 25% stake and all that. But yeah, the Premier League haven't ratified, like the Premier League got to go through their due diligence.
That's mad.
Yeah, I know.
If Todd Bowley gets through, then I'm sure... Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure he'll be fine. Yeah, Todd Bowley just comes in, just going, yeah, money,
show me the money. So yeah, Brighton went 4-0 up. Spurs got 2 back, 4-2. Nice to see Spurs losing.
Flat Spurs really had 2 goals.
Yeah, it did massively. Yeah, it really did. Yeah. They played poor. And I think that was the last of the games on Thursday. Don't remember any other games being played.
No. I remember another game being played. Let's talk about it. Come on. At the Emirates, the mighty Hammers.
Yeah.
The Gunners.
The Hammers hammered us 2-0. I think Arsenal could have played for 5-6 hours. And still not scored a goal.
I'll never get messages from you. You go nuts. Like.
Honestly, it was the worst performance I've seen us in 2023 until yesterday's performance.
I think yesterday was a slight improvement on the West than on the West Ham.
You reckon?
He scored. I think it was a slight improvement. He scored.
Yeah, we did. I don't think Saka knew much about it, though.
Well... I don't know. I think the West Ham game, Odegaard played well, and that was about it, really. The rest of it was fucking awful. Arsenal was so bad. But can't take anything away. West Ham have been smashing it recently. They played really well.
West Ham were just solid throughout. All they did, they just did the basics perfectly. They made a couple of good saves. I think it was one or two good saves. The rest of it, I mean, we were about 6 yards from the goal and we pass it back to Saliba. I'm like, what are you doing? Or just pass it out to the wing. I'm like, you're in front of goal, just take a fucking shot. Like, why is this so difficult to understand? Jesus just kept passing the ball constantly. I'm like, you're the striker. Like, you are up front. Fucking shoot. Like, it's programmed into his head to pass before shooting, I think. I think that's our biggest issue. If we have someone that thinks... I need to shoot first. And if you think, it's probably only like a 20% chance of me scoring, then pass it. But if there's still that slight chance, they're still going to go for a shot. I think that's what we're missing. We need someone with that mentality to say, I'm going to go for a shot. It's just so frustrating.
You could also argue that is Arteta allowing that to happen? Or is he saying, unless you're going to score...
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. You don't.
Yeah.
That's the good thing and bad thing about just us being fans doing a podcast. You just don't know what's going on, so it's all very speculative. But it was dire. It was an absolute dire performance. Big talking point, though, was the Jared Bowen sort of ball out situation. Now, I'll be completely honest. You can't judge that. It's also worth adding, how the fuck have VAR not got a camera on both sides to see these fucking incidents is beyond me. But you can't comment to say that Arsenal were hard done by or West Ham were lucky or whatever it is, because you can't tell. I thought it was out, though.
I think beIN Sport has got the technology to do it, and they've reviewed the footage and they've proved that it was in. Because I agree, you know, you can't tell, so the goal has to stand. But if you had the technology, you'd be able to tell. We're in 2024 now. We should have the technology to see whether a ball is over the line or not. Yeah. Come on.
But as you said, you know, we do have the telly. All the broadcasters have angles everywhere over the pitch. Why does VAR, that's part of the actual fucking game and how the game's being run, how can they not have a camera on either side to see the bylines?
That's the problem, isn't it? Because we can admit quite freely that with the technology that they had, they can't make a decision. With the technology that beIN Sport has, they can tell very clearly that it was still on. It goes back to the Newcastle game, doesn't it? Again, where Arsenal felt hard done by it. That, for me, looked out, and I think, again, it was proven to be out. But anyway, why haven't we got the technology to look at that? We can tell whether, like, Ivan Tony's dick is offside, but not tell whether a ball is out or...
Nicky Jackson's bum is offside, yeah.
But actually, we don't know whether the ball's on or off the pitch.
Oh, honestly, it's ridiculous. I know Danny said in the chat, why don't we have... I can't remember what it's called for the technology actually under Hawkeye. The goal. Is it Hawkeye? Hawkeye? Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, it is Hawkeye.
Why do we not have Hawkeye for all the way around the pitch? Why is there not some sort of technology? Is the camera... I don't know if the camera's mounted. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
They have it in tennis.
Yeah.
They use it in tennis, true. Don't they?
Yeah, so how can we not have that in football?
They don't want it.
But we have.
How can we not have it all the way around?
It was in the World Cup last year, so we have it. we just chose a different system.
Oh dear. I love that we voted VAR. It's really good. Really good.
I remember when VAR came in, everyone was like, "We're gonna have nothing to talk about now. What are all these controversial decisions? We're gonna have nothing to talk about now. How wrong were we?"
It's just added an extra layer of controversy.
Yeah, because you're like, no, I don't think that's right still. It's like, well, you know, it's all down to someone's opinion. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw it go in, I was like, no, surely not again. Surely not again. Another ball possibly out. But then after that, at least there was no push, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's why the goal should have stood against Newcastle, because there was a foul. But you know,
there was
a clear foul. Everyone said it. Let's move on, because we're overrunning with time massively here. It's your game.
Huh?
Luton versus Chelsea.
Excellent. Gosh, should have seen my
tell us all about it. Tell us.
My smartwatch telling me, take a seat. Doing too much exercise. So I'm only sitting on the sofa. yeah, I mean, first half, we were really good. Defended really well. Cole Palmer and Madueke with the goals. And then got a third in the second half when Luton were actually pushing on a bit. And it was a bit, and they were starting to try and get some more balls in the box. And then, yeah, suddenly from about, 83 minutes onwards, don't think we could get the ball out of our half. Luton just kept on coming back, and then they had a goal disallowed. They hit the bar twice, and then my heart rate just kept on going up and up and up. And then they got two goals right towards the end, and I'm like, I've never wanted to see less than 6 minutes added time in my life. But then there's six added minutes, and I'm like, oh, not again. Come on. Don't do this to me. But held on for the win. Lots of teams had issues going to Luton. Obviously, your lot needed a last-minute goal. Yeah. City didn't have it all their own way. And Liverpool, obviously, needed a last-minute equaliser. So yeah, I mean, win's a win. We move on. We move up. Or the same as where we were, 10th.
Yeah, I was going to say, he definitely didn't move up, did he?
We're a point behind Newcastle now.
That's good. Yeah, well done, mate.
3 points off United.
Yeah, do you know what? It is still quite tight, I think, in the league, to be honest. No one's been a standout performer.
The league is split into, like, you know, three or four different leagues in there, right? You've got the top five teams. You've then got six to about, I don't know, at the moment it seems about 12, because Bournemouth and Wolves won't fuck off either. every time we win, Wolves win, I'm like, oh, please, just go away. Or they beat us, you know. But yeah, no, it was a good result. Petrovic made some good saves. So I take 2 wins in a row. Not been able to say that a lot last year. So.
Excuse me. Yeah.
About kill Ben, but
yeah, it was just a shock that nearly killed me, mate. That you got two wins back to back.
Oh my god! The way he's just spoken about Chelsea against Luton must be what it's like to listen to us talk about Arsenal. Chelsea were shit. They only scored 3 goals because Luton
only scored were 3 goals. Poorly.
The first goal was the goalkeeper passed it to Palmer, and then they couldn't track it down. The shot was good, but the build up to it was really poor. The second goal, he spooned it. The keeper should have saved it at the near post. And the third goal, Palmer did really well. Good skill. But come on, there's no way in any decent defence is he going to get through there and he's going to score that goal.
What game are you watching?
Luton versus Chelsea.
I don't think Luton, Chelsea.
Luton were really unlucky. Chelsea should have lost that game.
But we didn't.
That is true.
Do you know what? I think this is why we got Ali to come on for a few weeks, isn't it? It's those sort of responses. I'm like, yeah, that's what we'd say. Anyone calls Arsenal? Yeah, but we didn't we? So it's fine.
Apparently after the game, obviously where we were 3-0 up and obviously they got 2 goals, apparently Thiago Silva was quite irate on the pitch. I think he had Gallagher and Fernandes with him and he was just going off, like, just on a massive rant about the defence, and I was like, yeah, I can understand that, because holy fuck. but yeah, no, we you know,
good for the confidence.
Win's a win. Win's a win, right?
It's good for the confidence. It's good for the confidence. You're into 2024 now. New year. Poch is the man. You've got players coming back from injury. It could be looking 2024 could be good for Chelsea. You could hit the dizzying heights of 7th if you play keep going the way you are.
Four.
Is that maybe in Europe next season?
I think Ali's just got a nosebleed. Do you want to take a pause? just moving on, the Palace Brentford game. I know we spoke about a little bit earlier with the Elise's wonder goal, yeah, wasn't it? Big win for Palace, 3-1, shuts the haters up for Roy Hodgson a little bit, and just kind of continues Brentford's bad form. Man City beat Sheffield United 2-0, we kind of touched on that as well, with the just dominating performance, albeit it only scored 2 goals, but could have probably just laid down and still won, really.
I listened on the radio to that, and it was apparently they just said, yeah, this is just training games, just defence against attack.
Yeah.
But then you didn't really expect any different. I mean, Sheffield United lost 8-0 to Newcastle earlier on in the year, so
yeah, speaks volumes there. An interesting game though was the Villa Burnley game. Villa came out 3-2 winners. Burnley got a red card, and then they scored an equaliser afterwards.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Villa needed that pen at the end there, didn't they? And that was lucky it went in as well, underside of the bar from Douglas Luiz as well.
Yeah.
But Villa got another win.
did.
They're still up there.
Another win.
They're still
club
up
record.
There. Club record really wins, well, yeah, wasn't it? Was it for the calendar year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the only team that got more points than them in the calendar year was City, which is insane.
I think so, yeah.
So this run of form isn't/shouldn't really be a surprise, but it still is. Considering where Villa were. Yeah, Ollie Watkins all the way.
Ollie Watkins is the one that's doing it all. 21 times in 2023. Second highest that Villa players have scored behind Andy Gray. So he's the main man for them, isn't he? They've really got him firing because he's been there a few years now and he's never really done too much, has he? Like he's always been sort of there or thereabouts. But this last year, he's absolutely tanking it.
I think you said it earlier on in the season as well. He sort of has this sort of really good run of form for a sort of 5-10 games. And then he goes missing for another 15. But he seems to be delivering. Even if he's not scoring, he's assisting. Or he's setting up that
play,
isn't he?
Two assists. Bailey's really coming into his own as well, isn't he? Derby seems to be a great signing. They're all playing really, really well. I think, obviously Gerrard was the maker of all of that, wasn't he?
Oh, Stevie G. Yeah, he's doing really well in his new job as well, which is nice.
Yeah, nice really good.
You can't even buy a win at the moment. Cannot even buy a win.
Do you think you'd be able to buy anything in Saudi?
The amount of money he's probably on, yeah. so a massive, massive 3-2 win there. Wolves, as we said, continuing their good run. Great 3-0 win against Everton. Had two goals ruled out towards the end for offside. Yeah. Two great goals ruled out for offside as well.
Yeah.
Huang
Ni Chan is smashing at the moment.
He is.
He's scored 11 goals.
I've never realised how good he actually is.
People don't, because he only scores two or three and then he goes quiet for a few. So you just kind of take it as, he scored today. Oh, that's good. Well done.
It's unfortunate for us that they are going to lose him for a bit with the Asian Cup coming up.
Oh, of course, yeah. I forgot about that. He's got that AFCON, haven't he?
Yeah, well, obviously with him being with South Korea as well, you can imagine they're going to go probably quite deep into that tournament, so lose him for an extended period of time, so they might have to dip into the transfer market, try and find a striker. There's a few teams that need to do that.
Yeah, maybe they'll sign Osimhen.
Need to do that.
Maybe I heard he's available for 130 million.
Easy. Chelsea will probably pay 160. Just because Chelsea are nice on that.
Napoli like at least scores 130, 170.
Take
only
it.
130. Yeah, 180.
Okay. Don't you worry. Massive, massive win for Forest against United.
Oh, that was so good.
How happy were you boys when you saw that result?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think we could go in on Man United if we really want.
I think we should a little bit. I think
Forest were really good. Nuno seems to have them working very well. Complete change from when Cooper was there. They were on a bit of a bad form. So we'll see how he keeps going. I thought Gibbs White, I think he's teeing himself up for a big money move. I can see him at a bigger club. He's very, very good.
Ilanga played really well as well. Has been for Forest.
Ilanga looks brilliant. Did you see him at the end of the game, like properly embracing Nuno, getting a bit emotional? He's like, yeah, this is personal for me. Because he got pushed out by Antony.
I mean, coming on to Antony, I also wanted to say something about this. So Gary Neville on commentary said, he kept on going on about how Antony should go and watch Riyad Mahrez. And pick up on his game, from which I can understand if he's left-footed right winger, but Mahrez is a different quality. Anthony's just fucking shit.
Yeah. Don't mince your words, mate.
I mean, it's stupid. It's like someone said Nicholas Jackson. You know what? Go and watch Pele and do what he does. It's like what? total opposite ends of the skill spectrum on there, you know. So
I see your point.
Cracks me up when he watches Man United, because he just, every time there's a goal, like he needs to give himself like 10 seconds before he's composed himself to actually say anything.
I think that's probably
I think Anthony has got some potential, though. I think if you look at him, the way he plays and some of his skill, I think he's got the potential to be a good player.
I'm not convinced.
But what his problem is he's just selfish. He's looking for a shot. He's looking for the glory all the time. If he can improve his right foot and start crossing the ball in a little bit more where he's needed, I seriously think it's Ten Hag and the way his team play. I think if you look back at Richarlison from last season, he was just poor. A different manager comes in. I mean, he was obviously given the opportunity by Harry Kane leaving, but he can't stop scoring at the minute. He's got 4 in 5 games, something like that he's got.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I think if you give Anthony, you play to his strength, I think he's got the potential to be a different player. It's just the way he's being utilised at the minute and his ego that he seems to have. I don't rate him at all. I do agree that he isn't at the best, but I can see the potential in him. I can see that he is a good footballer.
I just don't think he's suited to this league.
Maybe.
I think if he played in Spain or France, I think he'd do really well.
Or Holland.
He had one good season in Holland, and then.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, though.
£4 billion.
But that's the thing, though. Like, he was Ten Hag was his manager at Ajax, and you know, I want this player in. Apparently, though, United scouting department like valued him before they signed him.
Yes, and it was only like 30-40 million or something.
Like 20. I think Gary Neville said like 25 million or something, and they've ended up paying 85-90.
That's insane.
But it was part of that Ajax team, wasn't it? It was part of that Ajax. I mean, Ajax doing shit at the minute, but it was part of that good team. Like, I mean, how much did you pay for Ziyech?
35.
Was it? But that was quite a lot of money for somebody who wasn't doing that well. Yeah, he was doing all right in the Dutch league, but you know, that's still a lot of money. So I think it's all part of that same team, isn't it?
Well, you look at Van der Beek as well for United. He was insane for Ajax. He's gone to United, done nothing. The only one that's done well was that Frankie de Jong.
Sandro Martinez.
He's done right. He's
injured at the moment, but I mean, it's difficult when you come over from a new league. I get that, but yeah, I mean, I just don't see Anthony ever being Riyad Mahrez level.
Not Riyad Mahrez level. No, I do. I agree there, but I think he could. I think he can play a good. I think if you look at Havertz playing under a Chelsea system that didn't really suit him, and he seems to have come to Arsenal. It's early, but he seems to be doing okay. I wonder if Anthony can do something similar.
Yeah. Who wants to take him? Many takers.
Maybe many I could takers. See him at like a Fulham or something.
I could see him at Chelsea.
Willian.
Don't ever, please don't say that.
See Anthony in that Chelsea team.
Don't, because I know how much people listen to you, Will, and suddenly Todd Bowley will get wind and he's like, you know, Anthony, that'd be a good signing.
It's true. We haven't seen Norwich for a few years, have we?
There we go. I love how you still manage to turn something into bashing Norwich. This is genuinely an art form at this stage, mate.
Oh, look. No, thank you. I don't need it.
So where do
you... We've got enough wingers.
Where do United finish this season then, guys? We're midway through now.
Good question. Where do United finish? United could finish anywhere from 5th to 10th. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think it will be probably... I think, they're 7th now. I think that they'll probably stick around that point.
Yeah, I think around 8th, 9th. That's all. all great. I mean, to be honest, I think if obviously things go keep going the way they're going, they could end up in like 12th, 13th, which would be great if they end up 13th and finish the season 13th.
Yeah.
Makes last season look not so bad.
The thing is, just everyone at that sort of mid...
just about mid, Chelsea, mid, isn't it?
Everyone at that sort of mid-section, they're all bunching together, though. So, yeah, they could genuinely drop out of that quite easily. It could only be a few points, isn't it?
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see now with the new owners, if they do decide to stick with him, or whether they're like, nah, we've got to make a change. But I don't see them making the change unless they do literally drop into like 13th, 14th, like that 12th, 13th, 14th, that sort of area. I think while they're in the top half, they're like, okay, you just got to take this season as a write-off. Like, you know, as much as I started saying that last season from about October, so you just got to take the season as a write-off. And then started saying it this season from about October again. That's just a write-off. Just take the season as a write-off.
But you've got to start seeing some improvement. Like with Arteta, when we had that, me and Ben said the same thing. You could see what he was going, what Arsenal were looking to do. You could kind of see the tactic and the formation, which I think you can kind of see at Chelsea. You can kind of, they got young players coming through. You can kind of see how Poch wants them to play. With United, I have got no idea what they're doing.
I don't think they've got any idea what they're doing, and I think that's the main problem. I mean, I keep seeing people like, you know, saying that Bruno Fernandes is really good. I have no doubt he's a very, very gifted footballer, but as a team player in that United team, he's not it. Like, and especially as the captain,
as he's well. Just so poor.
He's not good. So.
Yes, it's just it's his attitude. But he does create the most chances in the league. He did it in 2023, 136 or something. In 2023, Saka was second with 90. So he does create more chances for anyone. So he's doing the right thing, and I think some of the stuff he does is probably slightly underrated. But I completely agree with you. He's just a whiny, sulky git.
It must have been all before Hoyland. It must have been all before Hoyland came in then.
Yeah.
Because Hoyland's getting no service at the moment. He got one knocked down from a corner.
Well, it's because it goes to Garnacho or to Anthony or Rashford if he's on. And they all just go for a shot themselves. They don't pass.
Yeah, that is the problem.
We said it last week, I think.
Fernandes is a captain as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's bad. But then again, who else?
Well, Scott McTominay captained them the other day, didn't he?
He's banging. He's on banging form.
No, I think that's Ten Hag's tactic is, look, we'll do what I tell you to do and, you know, go to the wingers, have a shot. And then for the last 10, 15 minutes, just give it to McTominay and let him score two goals.
Just get McTominay in the box.
Yeah, sorted.
We'll score a header at some point.
Couple of games left. So there's the shitty one from yesterday, Fulham 2, Arsenal 1. I don't really want to talk about it.
We just can't score.
We just don't know how to... Well, I know...
You did score. But
we just don't know how to attack anymore. We just pass it around too much. Just lacking that cutting edge at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know what Will's doing there. Shaking his tits or something, by the looks of it. I think he's flirting with Will. Flirting with Will? Flirting with self. Bill's flirting with Will.
No. Not quite. Not quite. Just having a conversation with Jack mid.
I'll get Jack on. Say hello. Hi, Jack.
No, he was tempted. He's been up a couple of times. I think he's tempted to come and say hi, but he isn't. But no, he just went for a wee, and I was just reminding him to wash his hands.
Oh, it's joyous being a parent.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
What do you mean, joyous being a parent? I'll say that to Will when we're doing the podcast.
I'm going back to the Fulham game.
Oh, there's a big delay then.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, there was a big delay then.
Soz, what was you saying, Bill?
I don't know.
Where were we?
Fulham game.
We at the Fulham game, yeah?
Yeah.
We,
still there.
Back. Am I back? Okay. Do you know what? I thought, am I frozen? But it was just because I wasn't moving.
oh, my God. Jesus.
Yeah, Fulham. I don't know where they get a goal from, but apparently it's Jimenez and Deco Dover-Reed. The second goal, Arsenal were quite unlucky. It was a bit of a pinball. But still, just good enough. We could have scored so many goals. We don't shoot. We started with Nketiah up front. I'm not too sure why we've done that. I'm not too sure why Martinelli hasn't been dropped yet as well, because he's not been on fire in all form, whereas Trossard seems to be doing better. I think we're missing Partey still, but I don't know if Partey's going to be around for long. So what do we do for that period of time? Jorginho isn't probably the player that we need. So I think we need another midfielder. We need a striker. Arguably, you know, Tomiyasu, they talk about him going out on loan because of the season that he's having so far with his injuries. So do we need to replace him?
That is mental. Getting rid of Tomiyasu on loan is fucking mental. Yes, he's had some injuries, but when he's played, he has been insane. All we need to do is recall Tierney. So we've got a backup as an actual recognised left back.
Good God.
Well, Zinchenko hasn't been top quality, has he?
Zinchenko hasn't been
top quality this season. Jesus hasn't been top quality this season. Martinelli, as I say, is going for a run. We're missing Timber. We bought Timber for a reason. He got injured.
Yeah, that's your big one.
Yeah, he would have changed everything up in pre-season when he's playing on the left, kind of doing that, almost that Zinchenko role. But he's kind of doing what Ben White does with the overlapping runs. But that's why Martinelli's not been as good, because you're not having that support on that side. Because Zinchenko goes into midfield, leaves everything open. There's no way Martinelli can get back. I know he's rapid, but there's no way he can get back in time, which leaves us exposed time and time again. I think Arteta needs to go back to like a recognised back four and play a more of a traditional way of your fullbacks are fullbacks or wingbacks or whatever. None of this inverted bollocks. It's not working for us. I think we're too predictable.
It's not working in the moment, but he's never really played a... Like, if you, I'm talking about from last season to now.
Yeah.
He's never really played a proper, as you would say, back four with actual right backs and left backs.
No, exactly. So, I think Ben White is probably more of a right back at this stage now. To be honest with you, the runs he's doing, it's a full back kind of role that he's doing. So yeah. I think you can argue he is a centre back and a right back, like recognised in both now. But I think we're doing the same thing. Shut up, don't even start.
Why? He played well for Germany at left back. Come on.
Yeah, different against Germany and then against Fulham, though.
I mean,
Fulham are insane.
You've got the most versatile player in the Premier League. Utilise him, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do what we didn't.
But Arsenal just frustrated me at the moment. Last couple of games, really getting agitated by it. Just whatever. It is what it is.
I know you keep saying that striker as well, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's more to it than just the striker. I do. I think we've played all of our players and there's not enough rotation. We haven't got the squad depth. Our key players have played way too many minutes this season already.
No, if we have a striker, if we buy a striker and they're scoring, that just G's the whole team up. That gets them going. That starts the momentum. That's all we need. I think if we only got a striker and they could score consistently in the Premier League, I think that would do us the world of good. We've got a couple of injuries back. I think we'll be all right. But don't get me wrong, if we got more, that'd be great. But if that's all we got, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I'd be happy. I just don't know whether it's what we need fully. And then finally, Tottenham versus Bournemouth. Bournemouth's hot streak has finally ended, unfortunately. Spurs...
They were good, though.
They were good. But Spurs 3-1 win. It's a shame.
I think that flatters them a little bit, that scoreline, because I think Bournemouth played really well.
Yeah, I mean,
they're a good team.
They are. Yeah, I was going to say Bournemouth are a good team now. Iraola has done very well for them. But yeah, it's a shame that Tottenham got the 3 points. So they're back up there in the hunt again, aren't they, really?
Yeah. Did Sarr get injured? I saw he was crying off the way off the pitch. But did he get injury? Yeah, I didn't really see it.
He got injured after he scored, and obviously he was picked to go to the AFCON. Obviously that's looking doubtful now. But yeah.
What a shame, eh? What a shame happened to a Spurs player. Poor guy.
Happened to a nice team.
Anything else, gents, this week? Because I know we've been talking quite a lot this week. Should we do round up next week with Euros?
Well, we said that last week, so yeah, we can do that, or I can just do it.
Oh,
up to you.
I don't know. You cut out completely there. You're just pulling a funny face, and then you made a funny noise. Sounded like you farted.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say, actually. I didn't know if we were frozen or just stopped.
Cheers, boys.
Hey, guys. Here at the Football Drop Podcast, we'd love to hear all your comments, feedback, and funny stories. If you'd like us to share them on the pod, please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you.
Go on, then, Will. What's the Euro roundup? Crack on.
I'll just do a very, very, very quick one, shall I? Where shall I start, Ben?
La Liga.
Oh, so Italian Serie A. We've got Inter Milan, who are at the top of the table. They are 2 points above Juve. AC Milan in third, Fiorentina in fourth. So I'll just go through the leagues very quickly. Throughout Europe, Cagliari, Empoli and Salernitana are 18th, 19th and 20th. Any teams there that you really want to know how they're doing? Napoli in 8th, Ben?
No, but that's good to know, thanks.
Yeah. Lost 6.
Wow.
So, you know, Arsenal...
Your internet is poor, mate. You cut out again, then.
Is it? Did I?
Yeah.
That's jarring, isn't it?
Very jarring. Maybe you should put that in your jar.
Bundesliga is obviously on their break, but Bayer Leverkusen are top, not lost a game yet.
Yes, the Xhaka effect.
The Xhaka effect, yeah.
I mean, I was going to say the Alonso effect, but cool, okay.
Yeah. Bayern Munich second, Stuttgart surprise packages as well in the Bundesliga in third.
Wow. Oh, he's gone again. Oh, bless him. He looks very, very passionate there, though, in that frozen frame, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Is this Dortmund, like, you know...
Oh, he's back. Oh, he's back. I think we need to give it up, mate. Your internet's not holding out.
It's God saying no European roundup this week, lads.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, it seems to be working okay on my computer, which is actually all that really matters.
Oh, it's not when we're doing an audio recording as well, mate.
Yeah, I know. Real Madrid atop, Girona a second, Atletico Madrid third, Barcelona fourth. There we go. Roundup done. Boom, boom, boom.
Well done. Well done. So, gents, I've got a bit of homework for you for next week's episode.
Oh, no.
Need your top 10 of the season so far for strikers.
Gabby Jesus.
Nicholas Jackson.
Ivan Toney. Harry Kane. Sorted.
Yeah, we'll do an FDP top 10. So bring your candidates to the table, lads, and we will debate as a little bit of a special.
You say world football?
No, just prem.
Okay.
Just
top 10 strikers.
Will said Harry Kane. I was like, pretty sure he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. So yeah, we'll do that next week as a bit of a special to keep you guys entertained. Obviously, transfer windows open as well. So let's get some transfers in as well. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
But lovely. Gents, been a pleasure. See you next week.
Happy New Year, guys. See you later.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please give us 5-star on your podcast provider, whatever one that may be, and help us hashtag drop the pod.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.